We begin now with the words of colleague Ellen Fay. It is the winter season of the year, dark and chilly. And perhaps it is a winter season as well in your life, chilly there too. Come in to Christmas here. Let the light and the warmth of Christmas brighten our lives and world. Let us find in the corners of our souls the light of hope, a vision of the extraordinary in the ordinary. Let us find in the quiet of a holy moment rest, renewal, and promise. Let us find the child in each of us. The new hope, the new life born in us. For then will Christmas come. Then will magic return to the world. We come together this evening to hear the stories that illuminate our lives at this sacred time of the year. Stories that remind us of years past, and stories that inspire in us hope for the years to come. Stories of family and stories of the generosity of community. Let these stories light our way as this chalice illuminates the good within each heart, the transformative power of love in the world, and our will to make a difference. Let there be light. We welcome you to this holy night. Family and friends, members of this community and newcomers, old and young, skeptics and believers, we welcome you to hearing the Christmas story anew this year. We welcome you to an opportunity to remember the magic of Christmas. This evening's service, we're mostly sticking to the script of Scripture, except for this contemporary lesson, as I've titled it, from Madeleine L'Engle, or at least retold by Madeleine L'Engle in a book of hers entitled Glimpses of Grace. There's a true story I love about a house party in one of the big English country houses. Often after dinner at these parties, people give recitations, sing, and use whatever talent they have to entertain the company. One year, a famous actor was among the guests. When it came his turn to perform, he recited the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. His rendition was magnificent, and there was much applause. At the end of the evening, someone noticed a little old great aunt dozing in the corner. She was nearly deaf and had missed most of what was going on, but she was urged to get up and recite something. So she stood up, and in her quavery old voice, she started, "The Lord is my shepherd," and went on to the end of the psalm. When she had finished, there were tears in many eyes. Later, one of the guests approached the famous actor. "You recited the psalm absolutely superbly. It was incomparable. So why were we so moved by the old woman?" He replied, "I know the psalm. She knows the shepherd." What is it about this night and the message of the season that resonates within you? The other aspect of the Christmas story that stands out to me this year is Mary's role. I am moved by her response to the angel Gabriel. I'm reminded when I hear that account, which Liz read to you this evening, of one of my favorite artistic renderings of her encounter with Gabriel. This one. This painting, painted by Henry Ossawa Tanner, an African-American artist of the 20th century, was painted in 1898, believe it or not. And I love this particular image of the Annunciation for many, many reasons. It seems to me it captures Mary's adolescence and relatively low economic class background. It shows the angel not in an anthropomorphic way, as we usually see, but as a shaft of light. When I saw this painting in person, I just stumbled across it in the museum in my hometown of Philadelphia. I can tell you that I felt like this painting was glowing. And Tanner, it seems to me, has managed to capture Mary's humility. It almost exudes her willingness. She doesn't look afraid or worried so much as surprised, sort of, why me? And when we hear in the scriptural account her response to the angel, here I am, or here am I, she actually says, servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. Every time I hear that sentence, I find it shocking. She is so willing to be changed, open to having her life compelled and drawn in by the Spirit, by God, by this angel. Come to think of it, isn't that willingness to be moved and changed and the mystical encounter with the holy something that all of the characters in the Christmas story have in common? Joseph and Mary, yes, but also the shepherds and the kings. When angels and the heavenly host appear and tell them of this baby being born who is special, who will change the world, who will bring new hope and peace, do they reply with a, you must be crazy? No. Every single character replies with acceptance and wonder and awe, amazement and almost delight at this good news of glad tidings, as they say. We modern 21st century types aren't much given to this type of openness and acceptance. We more often start with doubt and skepticism. I wonder, however, if the Christmas story doesn't invite us to find a happy medium, a place somewhere between let it be with me according to your word and total disbelief. I think that that happy medium is found in the embrace of magic and mystery. For me, that means remembering the girl riding in the back seat with her grandmother, gazing out at the starry Christmas Eve night with the sense that anything was possible. That starlight might not be that different from the glow of angels. So what is the magic of this season for you? Where does it live in your heart, in your life? I confess that every year I think Christmas will be stale. I've seen too much bad news or read too much scientific evidence to the contrary to go along, I think. This year, it will feel hollow and unbelievable and distant. I won't buy it this year, I say. And then every year, I'm wrong. It is different, and sometimes it's not as strong as in the past, and doesn't arrive as reliably or clearly as before. But every year, the magic and mystery of Christmas manages to reach me still. Every year, I find some part of me that doesn't just read the scripture and sing the carols, some part of me that doesn't just recite the words. There is some part of me that knows the shepherd. May that magic arrive again for you this year. May you find blessings and joy in this season of peace on earth and goodwill to all. Merry Christmas and Amen. This evening, we have heard the story of a miracle, the story of a poor couple lacking in shelter, beset by government bureaucracy, who were blessed to be welcomed by someone with just a little more to give, space in a stable. We have the opportunity to perform the modern equivalent of that miracle. There are young people and old without homes and without the skills or opportunity to get needed government support. They are in need of our assistance. Tonight's offering is being shared with the Out of the Rain Youth Shelter and the Dandelion Society, groups which provide food, shelter, and care to those in our city who are in need. Please give generously. The ushers will now receive the gifts of the congregation. What is given in love is received in gratitude. And if you happen to have bought gifts of clothing or of food, etc., they'll be collected in baskets in the foyer after the service. Will help us to pass the light of the season around the sanctuary. And after we have done so, we will rise in body and spirit after everyone has the flame and sing Silent Night. As we begin, I want to remind us that this flame, this outward light, represents an inward light. a light of love, a light of hope, a light of peace, the light of Christmas. May we see this light and see in this light all that is possible, reflected in the faces around us and in our own lives, this and every season.